Hi, this is Kirk Evans. Welcome to part 3 in our SharePoint for Developer screencast series. In this session, we're not actually going to develop for SharePoint at all. We're going to focus on using Expression Blend to create a Silverlight application that we'll use in part 4 of this screencast series to actually wire up to SharePoint data. However, I thought it would be really interesting to see how do you create a Silverlight application from scratch, and then we'll use that as the basis for part 4. So if you're not interested in learning how to use Expression Blend and Silverlight so much, then skip ahead to part 4 in the screencast series. Otherwise, stay tuned. We've got some great information for you. So let's start by creating a new project, and we'll choose a new Silverlight 2 project. And we'll provide a name here for the project. It's going to be our demo. Prefix it with SL. Okay. And that's going to create our design surface inside Expression Blend. And the next thing we want to do is to set some properties. So we'll set a property here for the user control itself. And we'll set the height and width to auto, meaning it will automatically fill based on the bounds. We'll do the same here for the grid. And now for the grid, let's set some other properties here. Let's set the row definitions. And what that's going to do is define a couple rows where we can define the height for each row. So the first one, we want it to just automatically fill. Second one, let's make it 25 pixels high. And the third one, we're going to make, 100 pixels. Yep, that'll work. All right, so now that we've defined our row definitions, we need to put something in our table. So kind of just like Visual Studio, we'll go to the project and we'll right-click and say Add Reference. And that's where we can choose from Silverlight assemblies that we want to reference. I'm going to reference the Telerik Media Player and their Windows controls. And now to use that, you click on the Asset window here, go to Custom Controls, and now you can select from whatever you referenced. And I can double-click to insert using the default size. And now I want to go back and set some properties. I don't like the defaults here. I want it to actually stretch to fill horizontally and vertically. I want to make sure that those are in there. And next step, let's see. Let's add some more controls here. Let's add a text block and just double click. Go and select text box, double click. And we also need a button, double click. There we go. And all three of these need to be put into a grid or something, so I'm going to group them here into a stack panel. So that creates a stack panel that wraps all three of those controls. And a stack panel, I want to set the height and width again to auto to automatically stretch to the height and width. And let's set some more properties here for the horizontal alignment, and that's good. And we'll take a look, and you can see that our three controls are now child controls. And we can further set some properties here of each one of the controls. So I can set the text block to be left aligned. And I can also set, let's see, we'll go to the text box. And text box, we can set it to be left aligned, center aligned on the vertical axis. And we could also specify the width here. We'll specify it as 100. And then we'll go to the button. Instead of having a content button, let's make the content here add. Okay. And now we go back to the text block, and we'll change its content to comment. So there you go. Everything is going to be kind of squished up. So let's give ourselves a little more real estate. And we'll do that. We'll set some padding here for the comment as well as the button. We'll align some padding here to the left, a way that there's a little offset between the controls. And now let's increase the size of the text box to 200. And okay, now that we've done that, let's now insert a list box into our grid. So we insert a list box. Now we set the row for the list box, and that puts it in the third row, which is zero-based index. Set it to stretch for fill. And we also want to give a little bit of a padding there at the bottom. It's only about 10 pixels on the bottom. We'll give it about 10 pixels on the top. And it looks like it's pretty good so far. And now we'll select the properties of the media player. And here's where we can do things like, for the Telerik media player, we can set the autoplay and also whether it's going to display the chapters. So we can now go back here to this control here. Let's go to the list box, see if there's any other properties we need to set. Yeah, let's set the background. So here we want a kind of a nice gradient. So I can select the right color here, and we can choose a little bit darker color. So that way it's not just black to white, it's black to a nice gray. There we go. So there's a nice gradient color. We'll also set the text to be white. So instead of black text on that gradient, let's have a white text on that gradient. F5 to see what it looks like so far. And you can see that we have a text box. And we click the button, and of course nothing happens. So let's make something happen. We're going to edit in Visual Studio. And that pulls up Visual Studio. So now we can go back to our project. And inside that page.xaml, we can set some properties here. So let's wait for it to render. There we are. First, we'll name the text block. And we'll provide a name here to be comment text. And then we'll go to the... Oh, sorry. Wrong control. I need to put that on the second one here. And now we'll go to the... list box, and we'll provide a name there also. And the name I want to choose here is going to be the comment list. Okay, looks like everything's good. We'll scroll through. We don't need to make any changes. Make sure everything builds. Everything does. Good. Let's switch to the code behind. And in the code behind, I want to create this new type called an observable collection. And so what that's going to do is I'm going to type this observable collection. It's a generic. So I'll give it a string type, and it allows me to resolve back to the namespace, and that adds the using statement for me. And I'll call the type comments. And here in the constructor, then, I want to instantiate a new instance of that observable collection. And now the list box that I used, I want to set this as the item source. So we'll figure out, here's our comment list, set the item source equal to our list. There you go. And now I'll go back over to the button definition, and I'll add a button handler, button click, back to the code behind. And here, instead of adding something directly to the list box, I'll simply need to add a new comment. Instead of adding the comment to the list box, I want to add it to this observable collection. What happens is, whenever I add it to the observable collection and it's set as the item source, the list box will automatically pick it up. So just read whatever's in that text box, add it to our observable collection, and now we'll hit F5 and see how that reacts. Here's our application, and I can just type in some text here and add. And see that it is in fact added. So we're not actually directly adding to the list box. The list box is bound to an observable collection. As that collection changes, items are reflected in the list box. See that we can scroll through, so that's good. Let's give ourselves a little more real estate here, and we'll look. And now let's look at the list box. Now instead of just adding a string here, let's control the template a little more. Let's set this thing called an item template. A child element here called data template. And inside the data template, now I can explicitly control the layout of what goes in here. So I can specify a text block and say the text is equal to and bind it to our source. So here's how I specify the binding. And instead of just having text here, I also want to add a button, but I can't just add a button and a text block. I need to wrap those in something. So I'll wrap it here inside of a stack panel, set the orientation to horizontal, and let's see, we'll also set the width to auto, and then we'll take our text block, put that inside the stack panel, And now let's add in a button here as well. So the UI only a developer could love. We'll put in a button and a text block. And we'll name the button called delete button. And let's specify what happens here. So let's say content is equal to delete. And let's see. Let's give it a click handler. So whenever you click the button, something actually happens. That generates the method stub behind the scenes. So we'll scroll down. And we can see here's our handler. So in here, now we got a problem. How in the world do I delete? So it turns out it's really easy. I can just check the sender. And the sender we know is going to be the button. Right? The button is what was clicked. And once I have a reference to the button, then I can check the data context. That's what we were bound to. And it has a thing called a data context. And I can check that as a string. Right? So the data that we are bound to is simply a string. So once I have that, then I can say comments.remove and remove that bit of data. It really is that easy. Hit F5, and we'll look. And now we have some text. We hit add. There's our ugly delete button. Add some more text. Another delete button. More text. So I did first, second, third. I delete the second, and only the second is deleted. First and third are correctly maintained. All right, so now let's go back to Blend, and now we're back in a designer's mode, right? So the designer says, yeah, no, that ugly gray button ain't working. So I'm going to edit the template for that list, and I can see that the item template shows a gray button. So I'm going to instead add an existing item here, add an image, and instead of just a gray button, I want to set the content of that button to an image. So we'll go back to our asset library, choose the image control here. Once I have the image control, I can double click and add it. And then once it's added, just drag it into the button. That makes it the content of the button itself. Select the button, and I set some properties here, like the height and width. So I'll set it to 16 pixels by 16 pixels, which I just happen to know is the dimensions of the image that I was using. And select the image as the source. That shows little red X. Switch back to Visual Studio. And now I should be able to, let's see, let's take a look. Scroll down a little bit. And there it is. Inside of our stack panel, there's a button. The button contains an image. And now we'll select some handlers for our containing stack panel. When the mouse is entered into the stack panel, I need to handle that, as well as when the mouse leaves. So I need to handle that in a separate event handler. Now let's switch the code behind. And we'll actually handle that. So WPF, we can maybe use a trigger. Silverlight 2, we didn't have the ability to use that. So what we're going to do here is we're going to programmatically catch the stack panel, just like we did before, say that the stack panel was the sender, cast it. And once we cast it, then we have a reference to the panel. So we can say, okay, now I need the button that's inside that panel. So panel.findName, and it was called delete button. So we'll find that specific control, and now since we cast, we need to cast the entire thing. So that's an entire thing called button. Now we're using a button type. Set the visibility is equal to visibility.visible. Now we could do the exact same thing. So we just copy, editor inheritance, paste, and we can set the visibility when we leave to collapsed. So when we enter, we want to show the image. When we leave, we don't. Also, we want to start out with a state where the button is not visible. So I'll go back to the XAML and set the visibility to collapsed. Save, hit F5. And now let's take a look. We should be able to see a couple items. So we'll add first, add second, add third. Add, and now as I hover, here's our button. So that's it. Thank you very much for joining our session on working with Expression Blend to create Silverlight applications. My name is Kirk Evans, and you can reach my blog at blogs.msdn.com/kaevans. Stay tuned for part 4, where we will wire up our media player to SharePoint web services, and we'll create custom lists using Visual Studio extensions for Windows SharePoint services version 1.3. Thanks again for joining.